This is Will's Band of the Week for September 14th, 2014. Another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett, on the road to the frozen tundra.
That's right.
That's what they call it,
yes.
Right? The frozen tundra?
Yeah, they call going up to the Packers game at Lambeau Field, and that is affectionately known as the frozen tundra. Although today it's 59 degrees Fahrenheit, so it'll be, you know, it won't be frozen at all.
No, not at all.
It'll be actually pretty nice.
It is a great day for a football game.
Nice and clear, cool, as they say, a perfect day for football.
Yeah.
So,
And hopefully good will prevail over evil, right? Isn't this a battle of good versus evil?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, relatively speaking, anybody the Packers play is always going to be more evil than the Packers, right?
Right, right.
Doesn't matter how good they are. I mean,
yeah,
you can still frame it that way.
Right. Right, it's not one of the Packers' big chief rivals, though, this week.
No, yeah, they're playing the Jets, and is there anything to dislike about the Jets? I don't like their coach.
Yeah, is that
Rex Ryan?
Rex Ryan, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a jerk.
He's an interesting character. I've read a little bit about him. He's a complex character, like all these, you know, like Bobby Knight or whatever, you know, any sports figure who, you know, there are a lot that fit in that category where sometimes you read more about them, you don't really hate them as much, but if you only focus on like the nutty things they do, then you're like, this guy's nuts, and then you don't like
them. Yeah. I guess I haven't read much about him. I know that he used to be a big fat jerk, now he's just a regular sized jerk.
Oh, he's a thinner jerk now?
Yeah, he lost a lot of weight.
Oh, well, that's good for him.
Yeah. Do you know other things about him that would temper my dislike a little bit?
I don't think I have enough details. I have this general impression. I was listening to a podcast that was going on and on about him, and there were some definite positives. Like some guy, I think, who spent like a whole lot of time in the locker room actually came away with the impression that he's a decent guy.
So, uh-huh.
I don't know. So
all right. Well,
anyway,
there you go.
You know, the road noise on the road to the frozen tundra is a little bit louder than Chris's furnace, but we can still hear you fine. I think you could do that. Remember that car ad where they were trying to cut a diamond inside the car to show how quiet and smooth the car was, right?
I don't.
Maybe that
don't
would be the
that,
that would probably be more an indication of like the smooth suspension, right, than the noise level.
Right.
Yeah, it was like
that's
a,
true.
It was like
yeah,
a,
the noise isn't gonna. You could turn the stereo on in the car while the guy's cutting the diamond, and that wouldn't make any difference.
Right, right. So it must be, it was trying to show what a great smooth riding car it was. And they had a guy like in the back seat cutting a diamond. This is another one of those old timer things that you probably have to be almost as old as me to remember that. I think it was probably from, it might have been around like 1980 or something.
Yeah,
maybe
I just,
late
I don't
70s.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Remember that car ad where they were comparing a Ford Granada to a Mercedes, and they were saying basically this is exactly like a Mercedes, and they would show and they had the car, I think it was called a Ford Granada, pretty crappy car actually, you know, and but they, you know, they had the exact same color, so they made it black with the same kind of trim, you know, and they put it next to the Mercedes and said basically you were supposed to say, well, you know, this is just as good for a third of the price, so
sure,
I should buy this thing. Yeah.
Well, look, like, how many wheels has it got?
Yeah, it's got four.
Four.
Right.
How many steering wheels?
One.
One.
Exactly. Yeah.
Seats, five.
Yep.
What else is there?
Right.
Runs on gas. Has windows.
Yeah. I think.
You know, I think they are exactly the same now that I think about it.
I think it sounds like you would have bought one of those if you were of, you know, driving and, you know, working age at that time.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been convinced.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much to convince me.
Well, hey, let's talk about, there was actual music news this week. The U2 album being given away by Apple. I think that's music news, right?
That's one, given away is one way to put it.
Yeah, what's another way to
like,
put it?
Mandatorily, like, you can't not get it.
See,
you don't have a choice.
I didn't quite understand how that all worked, because it didn't, like, show up. Actually, I got home from work that day, and I'm like, all right, there's a free U2 album. I think I'll listen to it. And then I had the opposite issue. Like, I couldn't get it. Like, it was... It didn't show up in the library, and then I had to do this weird thing where I turned features off and back on and stuff, and then I got it. But does it download too, or does it just show up like as available in your library?
It just showed up. It was downloaded.
Oh, so it did download automatically.
Yeah,
yeah, I could see that's sort of in your face, kind of, right?
I wanted, this may be not true, but when I synced with my iTunes, I don't sync the whole library. I just select things because my phone doesn't have that much capacity.
Yeah.
I want to say that the U2 just showed up on my phone in addition to the other things that I synced that I wanted on there. It just showed up.
Yeah.
Like, there you go.
Okay.
You have to listen to this.
So basically, Apple mandated that you listen
yes.
to the new U2 album. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Jesus
Christ. I was thinking about whether this is we should think of this as any sort of indicator of the state of the music industry, or whether it's really just kind of a one-time odd deal. And you might remember that Radiohead gave away their album In Rainbows. You know, that was 7 years ago now.
Wow,
time flies, right? And when Radiohead did it, though, they didn't have like the backing of a giant corporation. They just did it themselves. But then the way they made money is they, you know, you could have the download for free, but then you go to their site and you pay like $80 for a big box set and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So apparently I was reading that turned out really well for them. They came out great because they still sold a ton of the physical CD and all those gift boxes and stuff.
Right.
So
plus, I think you had the option to buy the download for whatever you thought it was worth.
Oh, yeah. I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might have paid like a couple bucks for it because I'm a nice guy, but I can't remember.
I think that Chris actually bought it. He paid some, you know, like pretty much for it, $8 or something. And then it didn't, like, he was having some difficulty. And he like clicked it again or re-entered his credit card number. He got charged twice. So
great irony.
Yeah, totally.
Well,
and I think I just got a copy from him.
Yeah. So
sorry.
So, were you ever a big U2 fan?
Sure.
What's your stance on U2?
I liked him until. God, you sound like such a whatever, such a snob. But I definitely liked him all the way through like 1985.
Yeah, I was kind of like the first three or maybe four albums.
Yeah, same
I
here.
I was totally into him, and then they just
started
to lose
October,
me.
War, and then.
Was the Unforgettable Fire after
Unforgettable
that?
Fire.
Yeah.
And then after that was Joshua Tree.
It sounds
which
right.
has a lot of good songs and stuff, but yeah. I just didn't like them anymore by that time.
They were changing into a different sort of band by then. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, that's kind of where I stand on them. And then I keep, because I loved them so much in the early days, I always want to listen to anything new they come out with, and then I'm usually just really disappointed. So,
right.
So I was listening to the Free album, and I thought, well, I got to give this thing a chance, you know. And my first impression was, God, just I'm so done with U2. I don't want to hear this at all. But then I kind of forced myself to just put it on twice, and then I had to concede that it's really not terrible. I think it just depends on, you know, where you stand on U2 generally, and are you turned off by Bono and whatever. If you're inclined to hate it, it's kind of easy to hate. But if you just sit back, it's really not bad. It's kind of like, what was the artist you were saying a couple of weeks ago on the podcast? You're saying this is just rock music, right? You know, it's kind of like, it's okay.
Right.
I forgot who that was.
Who was that?
Well, whatever it was,
remember.
That's kind of what I think of the U2 album. It's kind of rock music, and it's not really terrible. So
Maybe
let's play a little U2 to accompany
I'm gonna, yeah. If I can go, the only one I know that I can reference for sure is the first one.
Yeah.
And I did listen to the whole thing, but that one I had a strong reaction to.
The Miracle of Joey Ramone? Yeah.
Is that the one that starts out with the, whoa, 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 all that, like...
Let's see if it is. We'll test it. That, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was surprised by the title of it because if anything is less reminiscent of Joey Ramone than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, right. There's a song. Like, they call it The Miracle of Joey Ramone. You're thinking that, okay, there's going to be some kind of, like, tribute to the Ramones kind of sound, at least, right? Like, at least they'll do some, like, fast-driving chords, and then the song sounds nothing like that.
No.
Yeah.
In fact, well, I was going to wait until after it plays, but it sounds like a band that's auditioning for, like, an Allstate insurance commercial.
I think we should play some of it. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I got to give that song thumbs down.
Yeah, you know, in a way, I don't know. They're just being you too, but why? Like, of all the bands for Apple to team up with, like, why these guys? You know,
it's, I think, like, because they're famous.
They're very big. They're very famous.
That's it, probably.
But it's kind of pathetic. You know.
Yeah,
they're trying to be like. We're cool. We're Apple.
Yeah.
You know? Cupertino, California and stuff. Yeah. And that's what they come up with, you two.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't 1981 anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just bizarre. But they also did that, the iPod that came out in like 2005, the generation whatever it was, 5, 3, that was the U2 model, remember? So they've kind of worked with them before.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. But you're right. Yeah, there was a.
So
U2
they have a bit
thing.
Of a relationship history there, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe that's a good question. What would be a better thing to give away than U2? I mean, it has to be something that everybody has heard of. It can't be something that anybody's like, "What's that?"
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe it is a very, very small, you know.
Yeah.
Universe of artists that have some of what at least Apple thinks is cool,
right?
Along with being, you know, something that every single person that would potentially buy an Apple product knows.
Yeah, and there aren't that. It could be like the Rolling Stones, maybe. You know, of course they're so old it's ridiculous.
Just be even worse.
Yeah. So I mean, and Springsteen, and you know, the problem is there aren't. It could be Coldplay, I guess. Right.
That would be worse.
Yeah. It'd be worse than U2, do you think? I mean,
yeah.
So we, like,
I don't know.
I was thinking it'd be good if they had a gigantic announcement like they just did, you know, and they said, everybody's getting the new Bonnie Prince Billy album for free. You know, no matter what they do, though, there's going to be like millions of people saying this is terrible and this is ridiculous.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. It is a little bit weird that I didn't have a choice. I mean, I have to consciously go and delete it. It's a little bit invasive and weird.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I am complaining about this thing, you know, that they gave me. What if I could talk to, you know, like 16-year-old Barrett and say, hey, you know this band that you really like? Well, sometime in like 30-whatever years, you're going to have this miracle telephone computer thing that you'll be able to carry around with you. And it'll be kind of like a Walkman, but you can have every album you'd ever think of right there in your pocket.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get the free U2 album. They're still going to be around in that many years. And you're going to get it for free on this miracle device. And then you're going to be complaining about it.
Right, exactly.
Like, what the hell?
It's funny, yeah.
That's so ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that we are participating in forcing the U2 album on people, right? So
that's
not only,
yeah.
you know, you, it's going to show up in your iTunes if you hate it, and also you put this podcast on and we play it.
Right.
So I think we got to do it.
I can't get away.
Yeah, let's play one more.
All right.
Because this one's not... This one's more of like an average song on the album that's not terrible, at least. It's called California, There Is No End to Love. I think that kind of sums up the state of U2 in 2014.
Yeah.
It's about it right there, you know, for better or for worse, but kind of like unexciting, I think. But slickly produced rock pop music, right?
Right. I mean, at this point, what would a great U2 album sound like?
Yeah, that's
it's kind of inconceivable.
Right. Right.
I just don't know what they would do.
Right. Right.
But you know, I mean, if you're so into it, into U2, and you've listened to everything a million times, anything new is going to be, you're going to be excited about it.
Yeah, know? And some people, they just aren't going to be adventurous enough to go. Like for example, they're not like hip enough to listen to the Will's Band of the Week podcast, you know.
Right.
People that aren't like totally cool like us, they might just like listen to whatever the famous bands that they've heard of put out, right?
Exactly.
But you would do better if you wanted to hear something interesting to, you know, listen to Spoon or something like that, right?
Right.
Or some, you know, some band that's still kind of on a creative, really good creative thing going on. You know what I mean? I think like it does sound like whenever U2 puts an album out now, it sounds like it's sort of forced, like they have to come up with something. And so,
right.
And I think probably this album is probably better than a lot of their output over the past 10 years or so. But still, it's hard to get too excited.
It is. It just sort of doesn't have a very good reason to be, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting that they haven't done very much like branching out. Like, there's never been a Bono solo album. Like, has there?
No, there hasn't.
Which is kind of weird, because usually when bands get that huge, they're like, they've got other projects and stuff. So, you know, and you don't hear about that with U2.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's the music news. Now the real podcast starts, right?
Nobody died?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's
or
good.
If they did, we're disrespecting them by not mentioning it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I feel like somebody must have died, but...
Yeah, somebody probably did. So sorry, rock and roll people who died, that we did not remember to mention you. You know, last night the Replacements did their... like their reunion show in the Twin Cities, and they played at this place called Midway Stadium in St. Paul, which I think is like super cool, but I haven't read anything about it yet. I had a couple friends who went, so I saw a couple Facebook posted photos, you know, from last night.
That's what I saw.
Kind of cool.
And then I saw like a little brief little iPhone video that somebody took, and parking lot photos of friends going and stuff, but I didn't hear anything about it.
It's a cool concept, right? I mean, people were pretty excited about it. So
yeah,
and apparently, you
I
know,
think
the,
that who opened up for them was
I don't think I ever saw.
What are they called? You know, the Twin Cities band that moved to Brooklyn, and the Holsteady.
Oh, okay.
Opened up for them.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
it's a good match. Yeah,
very good match.
So yeah, that's the thing. Like, if we lived in the Twin Cities, we would have gone, right?
Yes.
So, but we didn't have the budget to send somebody on assignment for this one.
No.
If
no.
only the listeners, if every listener would just give us like $100, then, you know, think of the things
oh,
we could
yeah.
do.
We could have, yeah, yeah. We could have gone nuts.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Front so now row you, tickets.
Uh-huh. VIP.
You know?
Yeah.
VIP.
Qualify as press.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. Nice, probably presidential suite.
Yeah. That's what it should be for us, really, right?
Right.
I mean, we're at the age now where I think we've earned the presidential suite when we go see bands.
But instead, if we would have gone, we'd probably have to, you know, like, try to sneak in and go camping.
Yeah.
That kind of, that's more kind of budget that we work with.
Stand way in the back with binoculars.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's the way it
oh,
goes.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Okay, there's a new Jay Maskus album, and one of our listeners specifically was interested to hear our take on it. You know, Jay Maskus is, of course, known for Dinosaur Jr. and Loud Rock and Roll. And occasionally,
yes.
he'll put a solo album out, primarily acoustic. And, you know, he kind of proves that he's kind of also tuneful. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's pretty decent. Have you listened much to this new Jay Maskus album?
No, I listened to his other one kind of like this, though. Called Martin and Me, and like that.
This one is called Tied to a Star, and you know, it's primarily acoustic. Some of the songs have drums and some don't, and it's pretty solid, I think. Let's play a song. This one is called Wide Awake.
I'm wide awake.
Did you notice there's a guest vocalist there?
Was that Sean Marshall?
It was. That's pretty good that you came up with that. I had to look it up earlier.
Yeah, very nice. That sounds great.
Yeah, you know, when you're Jay Maskus, you're like a rock and roll elder statesman, right?
Yes.
And you've got cred over the years, so you can just call in famous people. Well, I don't really know how they do this, but, you know, how do they decide which of all the rock and roll people they know should get the guest vocal on the album?
I don't know. Like, you know who's been doing a lot of those kind of things? It seems like Feist was sort of the go-to for that kind of thing. Maybe I'm just remembering one or two and then thinking it happened all the time. But, no, that's... I like that.
Yep.
That was good.
All right. Let's play another Jay Maskus track. This one's called Stumble. Jay Maskus. So on that one, he put a little electric guitar behind the acoustic guitar. It's a sort of interesting effect.
Very nice effect.
So, yeah, pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, what I've always liked about Dinosaur Jr., I mean, they do have they're a pretty noisy band, but underneath, it's always really good, you know, there's always a tunefulness about him. And
right.
He's always had that kind of soft voice to go along with the hard music, and this is just kind of distilling down to the essence of what I like about Dinosaur Jr. and maybe what you do too.
Stripping
away a lot of the noise and just like that's what you got left, and it sounds pretty awesome.
Yep. Jay Maskus. Maybe since we're all on the road with Barrett to the frozen tundra, maybe we'll go a little quicker and like play two tracks instead of three. The listeners are going to have to go get the rest, right?
Yes.
All right. So next in line is the new Pornographers. And I think Barrett might have had an opinion about this. But before we get to that, let's just mention that the new Pornographers, well, you know, they've been around for a while. And I kind of think of them as one of these bands that were sort of, for me, they were part of the music revival when the iPod was brand new and I was, you know, my kids were finally more than 5 years old and I had a little more time to listen to music and
right.
That was when Electric Version and then the one after that, what was that one that had
Mass Romantic was the first
Mass
one.
Romantic, and there was one other one, the one, what's the one that has Sing Me Spanish Techno on it?
Is it the one with is that Twin Cinema?
Yeah, that's it. I think that's the first one that I heard, and that's when I kind of thought, hey, this is kind of cool. And so then, like, after that series of albums, they put out a bunch of stuff that was kind of, I thought, sort of uninspiring, and I wasn't very interested. And then this new one is called Brill Bruisers, and a lot of the reviewers are saying, okay, this is, like, they're kind of back to form a little bit. It's at least a little bit better than the more recent ones. And I think it's sort of odd in the way that, for some reason, to me now, I'm noticing more how they sound sort of fractured. Like, they have so many different elements, and with the Dan Bahar from, what's his band?
Destroyer.
From Destroyer, yeah. It used to seem like he fit in better than he does now. So it's kind of an odd collection, I think. But I continue to really like the songs that have Nico Case in them. So I'm going to play one of those.
Yeah, yep.
Let's start with that, Champions of Red Wine. New Pornographers. So, all right, it's time to find out what Barrett thinks about this.
Yeah, that's a stand-up, Chuck. Well, I do like that song, and just like with all the other New Pornographers stuff, I like the Nico Case songs the best. I think pretty much everybody would say that, except for, like, you know, Carl Newman's mom, maybe. But
yeah,
there's something about, you know, I really loved the first album, and I listened to it a lot. The other ones I didn't like very much. I don't know why. I don't know that they're significantly different, but there's something about the way their voices, I mean, they sing a lot of group singing and harmony in all these albums.
Yeah.
And I don't think their voices together sound that great. There's something dissonant about it or something. I don't know. I don't know if I'm describing that right. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah, they definitely have
maybe it's like
a sound.
Like all of their voices are just like, you put them...
You're getting cut off there. I think you're in like the dead zone of the Fox Valley or something. But
yeah, I'm approaching now Rosendale.
Ah,
so I better.
Yeah, they probably don't have
speed.
They probably don't have the internet in Rosendale. Maybe. Yeah.
No.
Hey, let's do this. Let's play a song that I think this one has like some of those group vocals. So I'm gonna play a track called "Marching Orders."
Marching orders mean
Okay. Do we have you now, Barrett?
I heard that.
Okay,
can
yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you great now.
Yeah,
so you got
played
Rosendale.
Another one of the highlights.
Yeah, and I, you know what's funny is I thought I was playing a song that had like more of the group vocals, but I actually was just playing another Nico Case song.
Right.
So, you
what
know,
track I, number was that?
I got to figure that out.
So I want to say that 4 is an example of what I was talking about, but I can't look at my iTunes because I'm got my hands occupied.
That was track 6. Yeah. Well, I guess we're in agreement that that Nico Case is the star of the band, right?
Yes.
I think the bass player has a lot to do, you know, the unsung bass player. I can tell you about being an unsung bass player, but this is a little bit more impressive unsung bass player than me. But so, I mean, I think he has a lot to do with putting together these albums.
Uh-huh.
And so that may be part of it, but, you know, I kind of think of them as like a band that can channel the talent of Nico Case into like a poppier version, which is like kind of cool in that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you had like if you made a compilation of just all the Nico Case New Pornographer songs, it'd be really great, right?
Right.
And you
exactly.
Then you could tack on some of the, you know, they do have some like super catchy songs. Like I mentioned, Sing Me Spanish Techno and, you know, Carl Newman, I think he, you know, he's a good songwriter in some ways, and he's kind of hit and miss though.
So. Yeah, I know a lot of people really, really like him.
Yeah.
You know, like I talk about Tom Sharpling on WFMU, and he loves him. He just thinks he can do absolutely no wrong. And, you know, I guess there's no accounting for taste.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just not for me. And, another thing about this album that kind of gets me, usually the drumming is just, the songs kind of have this driving beat, and the drumming is always just really unimaginative.
Yeah, it does seem like it's the driving beat, yeah.
And then there's always this, like, chugging guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of samey and headachey.
Yeah.
So I was actually out running last Sunday, and I'm like, oh, great, I had to go for a long run. It's like I can listen to this multiple times. And as soon as it was over, I couldn't wait to put something else on.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to listen to it anymore. So.
One time. It's a one timer.
I guess it's. I might have an anti-Canadian bias.
Oh, that could be.
The Canadian supergroups.
Yeah.
You know?
There was some group that I was reading. I've probably brought up the subject before, but I was reading about some super group, and all of the other groups were groups I've never heard of. And it's like, is it really a super group if you've never heard of any of the other bands?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Come on. I mean, everybody has multiple bands now these days.
Right.
So, which is fine. That's kind of cool.
What would an indie super group be?
See,
we could have Jay Maskus would be one guy you could have in there.
Uh-huh.
You know? Let's see. Well,
who are we going to put with them?
Who's a really good drummer?
Probably the guy from Spoon.
Like a famous.
The guy from Spoon is like the super highly regarded drummer. Or you could put
but he's
like
not famous though.
How about Drozd from Stephen Drozd from the Flaming Lips?
Okay.
With Jay Maskus.
Right, there's a good start for a super group
start.
There.
Yeah.
And then I don't know.
I was thinking maybe that you would be into like members of Arcade Fire, Coldplay, and let's see who else we have in there.
Yeah.
Michael Stipe.
Broken Social Scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, are you still driving?
Yeah, but I'm in Rosendale, and there's a lot of people going to the Packer game right
because,
now.
Because like when you slow down now, it's like we can't even hear the road noise. It's
yeah,
like,
there is.
I thought maybe your phone
like literally none.
I thought maybe you
stopped.
I thought maybe you. That's right. The Packer traffic just it goes for miles and miles, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets here on 26.
I think
so. Most people listening aren't familiar with Wisconsin geography, but
right.
In about 20 minutes, I'll be going through Will's hometown.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty exciting. The Fox Valley of Wisconsin, they call it.
Oshkosh. Where did you live?
On the kind of northeast side of Oshkosh.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yep, you'd get off the highway and you just keep going as far north and east, and then kind of that's where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. So, well, I've got one more thing I can talk about.
All right, let's hear it.
Last week, Grant and I were playing some music on the podcast, and Grant described something as post-punk. You know, a lot of things get called post-punk, right?
Right.
And it's generally music that gets described as post-punk. A lot of it I like, I think, because maybe I'm a post-punk kind of guy, right? I bet you like a lot of things that are called post-punk. Do you have a good impression of that genre?
Well, to me, it means it's kind of specific. It's stuff that sounds a little bit like Gang of Four. We've talked about this in the past.
I think we did,
Kind of angular and whatever. But I think what happened, what people do now, is like everything that is, you know, chronologically post-punk. So like everything that happened after, you know, like 1978, 79, that wasn't punk anymore, is either new wave or post-punk.
Yeah, maybe that's how the classification
went. That's how they classify everything that's in this, like, you know, like, what do you, there's, what do you even call it? I wish we still called it college rock.
That was
to me,
good,
that was the best.
That was
descriptor.
Pretty good, yeah.
Because you can't say, what kind of music do you like? I listen to alternative music.
Yeah, well, that's...
That is so lame.
Yeah, that's really lame.
That's a shame. Ugh.
That could be like...
If anybody said that, it's like, I don't even know what you mean. What does that mean?
Could be
you?
Blink 182, right? Like
right.
Early Green Day or something. That would be alternative.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just totally... It's not even... It's worse than being meaningless. It has only negative connotations.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm going somewhere with this. We were talking about post-punk, and then I said to Grant, well, is there such thing as pre-punk? And then I thought, and then Grant said, maybe like Lou Reed or something. And then I thought, how about the New York Dolls? That would be that's pre-punk, right?
Yes.
It's like, and I went back and I was listening.
Proto-punk.
I was listening to in fact, Grant might have even said that, proto-punk, that's what he said. So, like, it was interesting to listen to because it was like, here's a band that clearly, like, a lot of bands after them that were punk that they must have been influenced by. Because, have you ever listened to that first, I assume it's the first, the self-titled New York Dolls album?
The one with, like, the lipstick writing and all that kind of stuff?
Right, yeah.
I know I have heard parts of it. I never sat down and... I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, so we're gonna with the high fidelity of your phone, I'm gonna play some for you. Okay.
All right.
This one is called Trash. That's some proto-punk for you.
Definitely.
When I listen to that, I'm not going to be able to pinpoint it, but it seems like there are so many bands now that where you could cite this as an influence. You know, right. Just like the vocal style and the guitars and everything, the whole style of it. So
right.
It's kind of cool to go back. That's from 1973.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And the names people might have heard who were in this band, David Johansen,
right.
And Johnny Thunders. Those are guys that kind of, you know, you heard their names later.
Yeah.
You know who produced this? God, that's pretty interesting. Todd Rundgren produced this album.
Nice.
Yeah. Boy, he's got quite
a
history.
Yeah, that guy's pretty cool. Todd Rundgren.
Amazing the things that he's produced, you know.
Yeah.
Not just his own musical output, but yeah, he's kind of a fascinating guy. We'll have to devote some time to Todd Rundgren sometime, maybe.
Yeah, we should. And we can play, you know, things that he's done, like Naz, that band, and his solo stuff, and then things he produced, and covers of stuff that he wrote. Yeah, that would be cool. I would like that.
One of us need to go on assignment and do the maybe this is
I'll
one
do
that,
some research. I like doing some research.
Let's do that. Let's do
all
that.
Right.
Okay, because we have a couple bands already lined up. We got some good bands lined up for next week, and maybe if we get time, we can go back to Todd Rundgren a little bit. So, all right, another New York Dolls song. This one is called Subway Train. Okay, so listening to that, I immediately thought, okay, the Replacements were influenced by the New York Dolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the Replacements.
I can hear that.
They've got that kind of a sound.
You know what it made me think of? Because I was listening for that same thing. It made me think of Foxygen and how the New York Dolls and Foxygen both sound like the Rolling Stones in the same way.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
So
Foxygen has a new album coming out in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Do they? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to be stacked up with stuff.
Right.
There's one thing that I really like that was one of our favorite albums a few years ago. You probably know what I'm talking about. There's just a little that I've been listening to.
Are you?
Do you think you know what I mean?
No.
That came out last Tuesday?
Oh, I think I might know.
Yeah.
Well, there's a thing that came out that was one of your top albums. There's one that was one of my top albums, and they have new albums. This is just exciting. Are we going to leave it a mystery? We should leave it a mystery. We can.
We always do. We never really, you know, it's never been a policy like don't tell the listeners what's coming up, but that just kind of developed. And I think that's kind of it's a good way to go about it.
Yeah. Other podcasts, they will say, next week we have this, and they tell you. We just say
right, and then you just skip it.
Like,
yeah. What if we had said next week Barrett's going to talk about Buck Owens?
Yeah,
nobody would have listened to it.
Right, they would have said, "Okay, well, I can."
Sometimes.
Right. People would have just said, "Now I know that I don't need to pay attention to this podcast for at least 2 more weeks."
Right.
But now they
right.
won't do that. Right. Exactly.
Right.
So. All right, that's very good. I think that, you know, as an On the Road to the Frozen Tundra podcast, this has gone pretty well. So, and the listeners,
I got to tell you, next time you're driving, well, it's kind of hard to do the podcast with you in a remote location.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the trip from Columbus through Beaver Dam and Rosendale up to Oshkosh,
yeah,
just flew by.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
You know what?
It's very nice. It's a nice way to, because that's such a boring stretch, as you know.
Maybe we need a satellite studio so we can, like, do that. Because, well, I can come over to your house and set up your own, a second studio, so you can be the home studio, and I can be on the road.
Yes.
With my phone. Yeah.
I just had a good idea, because we're driving through Appleton, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've got a radio in my car, obviously. Now, I want you to guess what they're going to be playing on the Rockin' Apple when I turn it on.
Oh, this is great.
2 seconds.
Okay. All right. You ready for my guess?
Yep. I've got the sound turned down. 105.7. There we go. Okay. All right. I can't hear it, but what's your guess?
It's down to either Boston or Bob Seger, but I'm going to go with Boston. Boston will be on.
You're saying Boston?
Yep.
I'm going to go Rush.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. I'll turn it up gradually.
Oh,
it's playing Nirvana.
That's Nirvana. Yeah. Hmm.
Well,
I'm disappointed. I thought one of us was going to get it right. I was all.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's such a, you know.
Yeah.
But well.
All right. I'm sure you will hear either Boston or Bob Seger or Rush if you leave it on just for another half hour. So you can report back.
I'm going to listen to it all the way up to the game.
That's kind of fun, isn't it? Reminiscing
it is
by listening to the Rockin' Apple. Yeah.
You know, they'll play some Tom Petty, I'm sure, by the time I get up there.
Yep. How about maybe some Supertramp?
You know, you're going to hear some Supertramp, some Zeppelin.
Yep.
For sure. You know, all the classics.
Yep.
That station has not changed much in the time since I was living there back in the mid-80s.
Maybe to
it's
just
pretty funny.
Maybe to stay on the cutting edge, though, they'll throw in some alternative rock by Coldplay.
Yeah.
Right? I think that might happen. So, we'll see. Maybe you should keep track of the playlist between now and when you get to Green Bay.
I'll do that. I'm going to make a mental list and I'll report on it next week.
All right.
Because, yeah, always a fun time.
Okay. I think it's a wrap. We're not quite hitting an hour, but I think that's okay. Lean and mean this week.
Yep.
So there's a lot of content. I think we won't get too many complaints. All right. Thanks. Okay, let's say goodbye to the listeners.
Yes, thank you, listeners.
Sad.
And now I am in Oshkosh.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Cool. We'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. on our Facebook page, or on Twitter at Will's Band. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.